The outcome of the fiercely contested French presidential election between incumbent Nicolas Sarkozy and his socialist challenger François Hollande could have major repercussions beyond the country's borders. Joining us now is Stanley Pignal, private equity correspondent for the Financial Times. Hello, welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me.
Most opinion polls are giving Monsieur Hollande a lead of between 6% and 10% over President Sarkozy. Is there any way that the president can make up that kind of ground between now and Sunday?
I think it'll be very difficult. One possible way in which he could have done that was that the only televised debate between the two candidates in the runoff, which was last night, by all accounts, it was Sarkozy probably had a slight upper edge, but really not enough to derail Mr. Hollande's candidacy. So it seems, if not quite a near certainty, then very likely that France will have its first socialist president since 1981.
Did the debate get kind of nasty?
It did. It was quite unpleasant, but Mr. Hollande basically played it safe, didn't lose his temper, which is what happened with a socialist candidate in 2007. It was really Mr. Sarkozy who had to prove that his record over the past 5 years entitled him to another stint in the Élysée Palace. And though he landed a few blows on Hollande, it really doesn't seem to have shifted the debate.
How much clout do candidates that were knocked out in the first round, like the far-right candidate Marie Le Pen, have going into the second round?
Well, both candidates, Hollande and Sarkozy, got under 30% in the first round. So really, the critical thing in the second round is how much of the knocked-out candidates' votes they can get. And Marine Le Pen, who finished in third with nearly a fifth of the vote, it's critical for Mr. Sarkozy, if he's going to win, to try and get her votes. Now, she has said that personally she would vote blank in the election. And her followers, though you would expect that the far-right candidate, far-right electors, would go for Mr. Sarkozy in the second round. That doesn't seem to have happened that much. About two-thirds of them have, maybe, but still one-third of them are plumping for Mr. Hollande, who's been a little bit more skeptical about budget cuts and about the relationship with Germany. Added to that, the centrist candidates, Mr. Bayrou, his votes have not really gone Mr. Sarkozy's way either. So that has left him really with not much more, many more electors than in the first round.
But does the 18% that Marie Le Pen got in that first round suggest that there's a growing sense of French nationalism?
It's two things. I mean, firstly, the Front National has always done quite well at presidential elections in the first round. There are a lot of people who want to send a protest vote, a signal to the mainstream parties that they want the status quo to change. The second thing is that this is a new Front National that we saw in this election. For the first time, it was Marine Le Pen and not her father, Jean-Marie, who was quite aggressive, had made some really awful comments about immigrants and France's behavior during the war. She is much more focused on other things, for example, France's relationship with the European Union. And the political consensus in France is pretty pro-EU. And she is the only one who's saying, you know, maybe we should get out of it, we should drop the euro. And with everything that's happened in the past couple of years, that has proved attractive to a part of the electorate that maybe wouldn't have even considered voting Front National 5 years ago.
So people don't associate Marine with her father's statements, who recently once again got in trouble for denying that there was a Holocaust.
They do and they don't. I mean, her father's voters will keep voting Front National because, frankly, there's nobody else that they can vote for who even remotely caters to their views. But she's also picked up some other electors who are a little bit closer to to the mainstream. And one of the big questions now in French politics, and this is not a new debate, but is how do you treat the Front National? Is it a force which is so outside the mainstream that you should refuse to share a platform with them, you should refuse to debate with them, you should refuse to enter political alliances with them? Or is it a political force which is legitimate and which represents the views of nearly one in five voters, and therefore the more you isolate them, the stronger they get? And Marine Le Pen, who's a little bit closer to the mainstream than her father was, makes it possible that the center-right would maybe consider in some circumstances some kind of alliance with the Front National.
France doesn't have super PACs. Where is most of the political money for political campaigns coming from?
Like most political campaigns in Europe, it's heavily regulated. There's a lot of government money that is distributed to political parties according to how well they've done in the past, and also their membership fees that the political parties can pick up. But it's really, unlike in the U.S., it's a complete non-issue. Candidates for office don't spend any time at all raising political contributions. It's just a complete non-issue.
Although Sarkozy was hurt by the support of one very wealthy older woman, that sort of thing doesn't wind up becoming an issue during an election?
Well, so there are always rumors and allegations that are made around political financing. Saif Gaddafi, the son of the deposed Libyan ruler, famously said that the 2007 Sarkozy campaign had been illicitly financed by Libya. Now, that was strenuously denied by the Sarkozy camp, and in fact, no proof ever really emerged that had happened. But it can play on the margins, but we're really not talking about the same quantums of money that you would see in the U.S.
We're talking about the French presidential elections with Stanley Pignel of the Financial Times as our first backstory segment. Unemployment in the Eurozone hit 10.9% in March. That's worse than in this country. How high is it in France right now?
France is at 10% exactly, which is kind of Eurozone average. But if you compare it to Germany, Germany is at 5.6%. And if you compare it to the UK, UK is at 8%. So it kind of places France in between what people call the core of the Eurozone, which is Germany, the Netherlands, Austria, and the periphery, which are the troubled countries like Greece, Spain, and Portugal. And Mr. Sarkozy's argument has been, listen, if we don't have austerity policies, we are going to end up like Spain, like Portugal, like Greece, losing the confidence of the international debt markets. Whereas Mr. Hollande is saying, on the contrary, the reason why we have such high unemployment is because we have these austerity measures which have been imposed on France by the European Union and by Mr. Sarkozy. And so we need to hire more, we need to pump more money into the economy, have more school teachers and civil servants. And that actually is really the biggest theme of the election in France.
Is there resentment against the Germans for imposing austerity on France?
Well, so it's not necessarily just the Germans who have done this. People talk about the Merkozy axis. So that's Nicolas Sarkozy and German Chancellor Angela Merkel.
Who have not had the happiest of relations, have they?
No, but they have managed to agree, or they've managed at least to fall into line and have a strategy of how to deal with the Eurozone crisis. And really the cornerstone of that strategy has been around austerity. And they've managed to impose a consensus aided by people in the core, like the Netherlands, to have basically austerity as the only policy going forward. And now the election of François Hollande, if indeed it does happen, it breaks that alliance. And it brings an element of uncertainty at a time when the Eurozone is already in recession and unemployment is rising, and the austerity policies just seem to have lost quite a lot of support amongst the public.
Have Hollande and Angela Merkel met, and do we know whether they have decent relations beyond this disagreement?
Well, so the awkward position that Angela Merkel is in is that she's part of the same political family as Nicolas Sarkozy. They're both of the center-right, and they're their parties are natural allies on the European scene. And at one point it was suggested that she would campaign for Nicolas Sarkozy. Perhaps seeing the way the wind was blowing, this never happened. She is not known to enjoy warm relations with François Hollande, and François Hollande says his first act will be to renegotiate this fiscal pact, which Germany insisted on, which essentially imposed austerity on the Eurozone. That's the first thing he wants to do. But at the same time, when he's asked what his first international trip will be, he says, you know, it has to be to Berlin because Germany remains our most important ally within the European Union. So even if they're not of the same political family, French and German leaders always find a way of making the relationship work.
Well, Angela Merkel isn't going to go along with renegotiating that pact, which prohibits continuous budget deficits. It's something that I'm assuming Monsieur Hollande would not be too happy to be stuck with. The Wall Street Journal stated that should Monsieur Hollande win, Paris will become more assertive in pressing for growth-friendly policies in the Eurozone. So that means that France and Germany will be at totally opposite ends of the political spectrum, won't they?
Yeah, I mean, yes, but within Europe, there is always a way of reaching compromise, of fudging to find a solution. I think that's what's likely to happen. The renegotiation of the fiscal pact will probably be quite limited. It will be something which Germany can live with, and Mr. Hollande can claim victory in his first few days and first few months in office. Really, the question that's going to trouble the relationship is more in the medium term, when he is pushing for less austerity and Germany wants to stay on track. And so there, as we suggested earlier, this breakup of the Merkozy axis, which has guided the EU, the Eurozone, through its current crisis, that's going to disappear, and it's not exactly clear what's going to replace it.
Well, what will it mean for the euro? It's already troubled. Can it survive a prolonged financial crisis in Europe? And disagreement of this sort between the two most important countries in the eurozone?
Well, I mean, that remains to be seen. There's been obviously a huge amount of tension around the euro in the past couple of years, but it has so far politically the eurozone's managed to stick together. I think the key thing is that the French and the German leaders, even when they've been on opposite sides of the political spectrum, have always managed to come together and to make it work. Now, we are now today at a Europe of 27 and a Eurozone of 17, so it's not the same cozy club than it was 30 years ago when there was a dozen members. And who knows, it could be that if France is no longer a valuable ally to Germany, it might turn to other allies. It might develop a coalition with like-minded countries, for example, Austria, for example, the Netherlands, maybe Poland and some of the newer member states in Eastern Europe. It certainly will lead to a realignment of the stars in Europe should Mr. Hollande win, especially if he wins by a convincing margin.
Is there a fear that investors might start looking upon France as moving in the same direction as other Mediterranean countries like Spain and Italy?
Well, so this is Mr. Sarkozy's argument. I mean, France's debt dynamics are actually pretty good, and it is in a much better place than Spain is or than Greece is. I mean, just as a comparison, Spain has an unemployment rate of 24% compared to France's 10%. Nearly half the youth in Spain are unemployed, whereas in France it's closer to 20%. So it's not in as dire a situation as the countries that have had to be bailed out. But the risk is these financial crises can happen very quickly, and it doesn't take a lot to lose the confidence of the financial markets, as a country like Italy discovered earlier this year or last year.
Credit ratings can be cut.
France has already faced that. I mean, it goes without saying that if France, there is no bailout fund in Europe that could ever be devised that could bail out France. So if France were to get in the sort of trouble that Spain is in, or Portugal is in, or Greece is in, then that would be, I think, pretty much everyone would agree that would mark the end of the end of the euro as a single currency. But we are still some distance away from that, and especially with the huge intervention by the European Central Bank last December, which injected huge amounts of money in the European banking system, the situation has stabilized somewhat. And only a recent burst of concern over Spanish banks in recent weeks has caused it to get a tiny bit worse. But, I mean, the situation is still markedly better than it was, say, last October.
Just one more thing. Mr. Sarkozy has had a very aggressive foreign policy with interventions in Libya and the Côte d'Ivoire, elsewhere. I imagine they've been rather expensive. Have his military adventures abroad won him any support at home, or is he being criticized for it?
Well, so the debate last night went on for nearly 3 hours, and there was really no mention whatsoever of foreign policy or defense policy. So it has been just a complete non-feature of the campaign. The campaign's been completely focused on the economy, on jobs, and to a lesser extent on security, borders, and matters of home affairs. But really, considering that France was intervening in the Arab Spring and in Libya just months ago, it seems incredible that it just was not at all a feature of this presidential campaign.
C'est l'économie stupide.
Exactement. Well said.
Stanley Pignol is a correspondent for the Financial Times. We've been talking about the French presidential elections and their implications for the Eurozone on today's first Backstory segment. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me. ¶¶